So your home didn't sell the first time. Are you fed up? It's time to make a change. Hire the Selling with CC team to get your home sold. We like houses to sell, not sit. To schedule an appointment, go to sellingwithcc.com.
Hacker After Dark on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
You know, every time I hear this song, I don't really think of OU football. I guess I should.
Yeah.
I think of good old JR, Jim Ross, walking out there to call some Monday Night Raw action or some WrestleMania action. Oh, man, JR, he's like with the biggest Oklahoma fan there is. He was actually on the Feinbaum show yesterday on the SEC Network.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, don't forget, he wasn't just a fan. He was also, for a little while, in between WWE gigs, he was the voice of Oklahoma football.
Yeah, he did a lot.
I didn't realize that.
With the athletic department. He's like the biggest fan they got, so no question. It was a shocking day. And if it was shocking here in Jacksonville, imagine what it was like in the state of Oklahoma. Bob Stoops, 190 career wins, 18 years on the job out in Norman, Oklahoma, calling it a career. And very abruptly, from what we understand, let's get the very latest. Brooke Pryor of the Oklahoman joins us here on 1010XL and on 92.5 FM. Brooke, thank you for taking some time out tonight. How are you?
You know, I'm hanging in there. I'm on, I've lost count of the number of bottles of Diet Coke and cups of coffee I've had at this point. But, yeah, like you said, it has been pretty shocking here. So the adrenaline is kind of wearing off, and I need it to kind of kick back up to carry me through a few more days.
You know, Brooke, you have an interesting story at newsok.com, part of the Oklahoman, about the reaction of the players, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But we were sitting here yesterday doing our afternoon show, just gotten into really the first segment, and bam, it goes out on Twitter, and the shock around college football was pretty big. What was it like for you guys that cover this team that Bob Stoops had called it a career on a Wednesday afternoon?
Yeah, you know, it's not anything that anyone was expecting. You know, you always kind of hear at the end of a season or when things are getting really tough for a coach, you know, is this when he's going to resign? Is this what's going to do him in? Or is he going to win a Sugar Bowl and then go out? You know, something along those lines. You don't usually hear about it, like you said, on a Wednesday afternoon in June. It kind of took everybody by surprise. Seemed out of the blue. I mean, I had just seen him a week ago at a caravan stop in Tulsa for boosters and fans that lived up there. And he seemed really relaxed while we were watching the OU men's golf team win the national championship. He had, you know, just finished golfing at Southern Hills. So he was in a great mood, gave no indication that he was ready to call it quits, anything like that. And then come to find out, you know, a week and a half later, he resigns, and we find out that he had also, at that point when he was talking to us, had kind of started to think seriously about it, and then went ahead and made the call, said that this was the right time, that he had Lincoln Riley there, he had his recruiting class in, a really highly rated recruiting class at that, he has his quarterback back. I mean, this team was set up just kind of on a silver platter for Lincoln Riley, so the handoff there, he felt like, hey, it's the right time. I'm going to go ahead and step aside now, and I'll be here if you need help. But, you know, I'm going to leave you with a full tank of gas and the keys in the car and go for it.
You know, Brooke, when you think of a coach that retires at the age of what Stoops is at 56, you often, one of the first things you think about, okay, is it health-related? This was not health-related, but I can't help but think about how his father died tragically at 54. After a heart attack on a high school sideline. You know, my question is, was that in Bob Stoops' mind at all? Was he thinking long-term, do I want to have the stress of being a head coach going forward when I've got a wife and family and all that going forward?
You know, he didn't say that yesterday, but I think if you kind of read in between the lines and you look at where he is in his life, you've got to think that that plays a huge part in it. His twin sons are going to be seniors in high school. They're both being recruited by different college football programs. And you've got to think that he, A, wants to be around to see them play in college, and, you know, A, and B, be around to, you know, maybe go on some of these college visits with them. You know, that's something that he really hasn't had a chance to do. He tries to go to as many high school football games as he can and see his kids play, but at the same time, he's got to reconcile that with going to see recruits play, getting his team ready to play the next day, all this stuff that goes into being a college football coach that really interferes with being in your kids' day-to-day lives, especially when they're in high school and they're getting ready to go off to college. So you look at the timeline of that and how old he is now, and you've got to think that he wants to be able to experience their last year of high school with them, go on some of the recruiting trips, be a dad, and not have to worry about, you know, any kind of health thing, any kind of health episode happening, with football being a major contributing factor to that.
Brooke Pryor here with us of the Oklahoman on 1010XL and on 92.5 FM. You know, Brooke, I cover recruiting for a website, gridironnow.com. Now, we're primarily a Southeastern Conference recruiting website, but I have talked to a couple of young men that ultimately did commit to Oklahoma back in February. I don't know if this was addressed yesterday, if this has been talked about, but I would have to think the 28 young men that committed back in February to the Sooners, are they not a little upset about this? Were they given any indication when they signed that letter of intent to Bob Stoops that Bob Stoops may ultimately not be their coach come their freshman season?
You know, that's an interesting point, because you do have some guys who are sad and upset that Bob Stoops is leaving, but I talked to a kid that's committed to the class of 2018, and he said that he could kind of see it coming. He's the first person that's told me that he could see it coming, but he said that he just kind of felt like there were always kind of rumors from his perspective that it might happen, that Lincoln just got this, you know, big contract extension and raise a couple weeks ago. So he felt like he could kind of see the pieces moving, that Lincoln was being positioned to take over for Bob Stoops. He said he thought that Bob would coach through this year and then he might have Lincoln next year. But I said, well, does this change anything, knowing that, like, you're really not going to get Bob? And he said, not at all. From all the people he's talked with that have committed in the class of 2018, that hasn't changed anything, because to them, Lincoln Riley has a different kind of touch with the players that Bob Stoops had. Obviously, people want to play for Bob Stoops. He's had some pretty remarkable recruiting classes, but Lincoln will re-energize the program in a way that Bob Stoops wasn't always able to do, just with him being in his 50s. You know, Lincoln's 33. He's got a handle on talking to these guys, talking with them and not just at them, you know, being on social media, just kind of being up in all this stuff that he not necessarily grew up with, but that happened when he was in his 20s. So they are excited from what they've told me. They're excited about Lincoln, and they like his commitment to the program. They like that there aren't going to be a bunch of position coach changes, if any at all. They're not learning a new playbook. There's none of the chaos that normally happens when you have a college coach leave a program.
You know, Brooke, certainly Bob Stoops has always been top of mind here in our parts. Every time a Gator head coaching opening comes open, Bob Stoops was always the guy seemingly to get the call. I remember when Spurrier resigned pretty much on the fly here in our area, there was shock value around the Florida Gator Nation. The fan base could not believe it. I remember, I think I was a senior in high school, I couldn't believe it. It was stunning. What was the fan base's reaction, and what has it been in the last 24 hours now that Bob Stoops is no longer the head coach of Oklahoma?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, you see the players and you see the coaching staff at OU. It's all very optimistic, and it's all very in a celebratory mode towards celebrating what Bob Stoops has done and towards celebrating what Lincoln Riley is expected to do. But then on the fan perspective side, I was talking with a guy at my gym this morning who said that he cried yesterday. He said it felt like a girlfriend was breaking up with him. You know, he was kind of distraught about it. And I think that a lot of fans kind of share that sentiment, because while people at OU can kind of go on in their day-to-day lives, you know, the players are still going to have workouts. They're still going to have meetings. Everything is going to go on pretty much business as usual. The fans don't really have any way to get through it. You know, they'll go to their jobs and that kind of thing, but to them, something is noticeably missing. Whereas in the program right now, you know, you don't have that figurehead the way that Bob was. You have Lincoln stepping into that, but you're missing your head guy on top. But it's still, you know, you've got your position coaches. All of that can still run smoothly. These fans are thinking about, like, well, Bob Stoops is Oklahoma football. What is Oklahoma football without Bob Stoops? And you kind of have to go through this identity crisis a little bit, I'm sure, in the same way that happened when when Bud Wilkinson stepped down and when Barry Switzer stepped down. So it's going to take some healing. It's going to be weird the first game of the season, I'm sure, for them when they look out and they don't see Bob Stoops and his visor on the sideline. Although there, he may very well be there to honor him or dedicate something to him, but he's not going to be there to call the plays. He's not going to be there on the sideline directing, you know, what needs to be happening. I think it's going to take a little bit of time for this to really sink in around here.
You know, you mentioned Lincoln Riley taking over as now the head coach, was the offensive coordinator for Oklahoma. Did he have any inkling that Bob Stoops was going to retire? Because there's a lot of thought that, well, you know, Lincoln Riley around the country was one of the hot names for a head coaching position elsewhere. Did he have any inkling that Coach Stoops was going to retire?
You know, not that he's told us. It very much seems that this came about in the last week and a half, and only a certain small group of people knew that it was going to happen. I think Lincoln had to know that he was the coach in waiting here, just with him turning down the Houston job, although involved in that was also this huge buyout if he left in the first couple of years. So I think he knew that he didn't want to end up locked into somewhere in case this job did come open. And you look at the money that OU was willing to give him to keep him on as an assistant, and you realize that he's someone that they really value around here. And just the way the players have responded to him, the way the fans have responded to him, he's in a good situation. And so I think that once they told him that it was happening, he kind of said, okay, you know, I don't know that anyone's ever ready for this call, but he's had the grooming, he's had the pedigree. I mean, he's been an assistant coach since he was, or an assistant student coach since he was a freshman in college, being told that, hey, man, you're not good enough to be a quarterback here at Texas Tech, but why don't you come help the staff out? So he's been training for this for a long time. He's, you know, learned under Mike Leach and Ruffin McNeil at ECU, now at Virginia. And I think that with that in his background, he's spent the last couple of years just polishing everything up and kind of putting it all together under Bob Stoops. And now he's ready to stand on his own.
Brooke Pryor here with us from the Oklahoman. Final moments with Brooke here on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM. All right, Brooke, I'm going to ask you to give me a hypothesis, a prediction, if you will. Let's say Texas A&M or Auburn, name your school. Let's say Kevin Sumlin at A&M gets fired at the end of this year. Are they going to call Bob Stoops? And if so, do you think he would listen?
I think that any school would want to call Bob Stoops. I think that that would be a smart call. You know, he's relatively young. He has a great track record. And because he's a pretty polite guy, he would probably pick up the phone. But I don't see him returning to coaching, at least at this level or higher, in the next couple years. You know, it could be something where if there is an underlying health issue that is correctable, that he spends the next couple years working on that, and then maybe he returns in some kind of capacity somewhere, whether it's, you know, being a middle school basketball coach like you joked about wanting to be, or, you know, being an assistant somewhere, or maybe trying to be a head coach again. But I don't think he would listen to anyone in at least the next year to three, maybe four or five.
All right, Brooke, this guy was drafted by the Jaguars. He played at Oklahoma. Dede Westbrook, thoughts from you on his career at Oklahoma? He had some off-the-field issues. And what is the thought about Dede Westbrook from you and among OU fans?
You know, Dede Westbrook is a player that does have some controversy associated with him, like you said. I mean, he's not as polarizing as Joe Mixon, but he's someone who fans spent all year falling in love with, just the way that he was playing, the way that he looks like a fairly undersized wide receiver. And then you see him, you know, shake off a linebacker tackle as down the field in the snow at West Virginia and score. You know, you see him make some incredible catches and then really turn on the speed. He's got all the tools that you want to see out of a wide receiver on the field. And then you look at the off-the-field issues and see that, you know, there's a couple arrest for domestic violence in the past, and that's really troubling. It brings up a lot of questions at OU about the vetting process. Did they know? Did they not know? All of that. So he's someone that does kind of have an asterisk by his name, because people, you know, want to think of him as being a beloved OU alum, but your mouth, like, I mean, I found out that all of this, that he had these charges the night after the Heisman Trophy ceremony. So I'm coming off this high kind of writing about him as a person and all this stuff in his hometown. And then this comes out and it kind of just gives you this funny taste that, you know, you don't quite know. You feel a little bit betrayed that this wasn't something that had come to light earlier. But, you know, player-wise, talent-wise, he's good. There's just a couple of character concerns that I think are something to watch for, to see if it plays out and to see if there's any other, you know, things that come up throughout his career.
You know, Brooke, final question. Again, we appreciate you joining us tonight. I'm just curious, from your perspective, being a woman that covers OU, and from other female OU fans, other, you know, co-workers you have that cover the Sooners, what was the thought out there about Joe Mixon and about Dede Westbrook? Because obviously a lot of off-the-field issues surrounding both guys in a very negative way.
Yeah, I think the biggest thought that we had was that something was broken at OU, that something somewhere along the line that felt like someone was, you know, kind of giving up their morals to win is what it felt like in some cases. You know, you wonder why Bob Stoops, someone who had been, you know, super highly respected for, you know, getting rid of problem players, but then he was also giving others second chances. But the ones that he was giving second chances hadn't really risen to the point of, you know, violence against women in any shape or form until about 5 or 6 years ago. And that's when you started to see the Doyle Beckham Green stuff happen, the Frank Shannon stuff happen, and then Joe Mixon and Dede Westbrook. And it was frustrating to feel like these themes kept coming up when we were told that they were being dealt with, that, you know, this is how you correct the problem. But then you were never really sure if the problem was being corrected. You know, they bring in Brenda Tracy last year. She was, you know, raped at Oregon State, but has been an activist speaking out since then. They bring her in, say that they're, you know, trying to fix the program, you know, educate the players, and you find out about Dede Westbrook. So it just felt like they couldn't really seem to get it right. And that was frustrating a lot. You felt kind of betrayed by that, but it seems like it will be interesting to see what direction the program takes under Lincoln Riley. You know, Bob was known as kind of a hardline guy on punishment who did give a lot of second chances to some guys. The two somehow managed to coexist over his 18-year career. So it will be interesting to see how Lincoln Riley kind of how he kind of defines his career from a discipline standpoint, especially when it comes to violence against women and things of that nature.
Hey, Brooke, fantastic stuff. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Brooke Pryor of the Oklahoman. Yeah, look, I appreciate her perspective on that. That was good.
It was. Yeah, it was. And I think it's very honest and very upfront about, you know, the culture at Oklahoma. You know, she mentioned that she felt like something was broken. You heard what she said there, and I think it's very honest, and I think a lot of it has truth.